I would like you to imagine, if you will, one of those beautiful isolated lakes that's tucked away in the deep north of northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota, or northern Michigan. Kind of like one you see in the columns. And about a week ago, you pitched your tent on the shore of this lake. And at that time, you noticed that there was a little ridge of ice and snow all around the lake, the remnants of a long, hard, cold winter. But during the week, the sun had climbed further into the sky toward the north, and the soft spring breezes started to flow in from the south, and gradually that little ridge of ice got less and less and less, until finally yesterday, the last remnants of it broke up and it all melted. And so today is the very first day that the lake has been completely freed of ice. It's very early in the morning. You push back the flap of your tent, and you step out, look out over the lake. The lake is covered with a dense fog, so dense that it's very difficult to see very far. So you get into a canoe and push out from the shoreline, and a few strokes of your paddle, and the land is nowhere visible anymore. It's just you on the lake in this dense fog. And you sit there, and you listen to the sound of silence that can only be found in these isolated northern lakes. And then all of a sudden, a very mysterious sound breaks the silence. A sound like something you have never heard before, and you're never ever going to forget it. It's a sound that can literally send chills up and down your spine. It's the haunting voice of a common loon echoing across the lake. You listen. And you know, it doesn't always happen that way, but very, very often it does. That the loon comes to the lake on the very first day that there's no ice at all. How do the loons know that? And you listen. And you realize there's more than one loon out there. There are two or three or four. And they're calling to each other. And the sun rises further in the sky and the fog starts to burn off. So you dip your paddle into the water and try and get a little closer to see these birds that are making this mysterious, haunting sound. Now, chances are you're not going to get a very good look at them because loons are very, very timid birds. They're isolated birds. They like to be as far away from civilization as you can get. That's why they inhabit the northern lakes. And maybe it's a good thing that you can't get a good look at the loon. The loon, as you know, is the Minnesota state bird. How many people here are from Minnesota? A lot of them. So I'm going to change what I was going to say. I have to change that. But we got to be truthful, don't we? And in my opinion, the loon is about the ugliest bird that you are going to find on the face of this earth. If you were in an art class and your teacher told you to paint a picture of the most ugly bird you could imagine, here's how you'd go about it. You take some of that indigo paint that you were going to use if you were going to paint the picture of a beautiful indigo bunting, and you take that paint and throw it away. And then you take some bright orange paint that you were going to use if you were going to paint a beautiful Baltimore Oriole, and you take it and throw it away. And take all these beautiful colors and throw them all away. Except for a little bit of green, just a tad of red, and a lot of black and white. And then you would paint a bird about 23 inches long, rather a large bird, larger than a duck probably, a little smaller than a goose. Give him a wingspan of 5 feet, paint him all black and white, except for a little bit of green on the head, and then two dabs of red for his eyes that look just like fiery eyes. And your teacher would say, "You did a good job. That is really ugly." And that's a picture of the loon. I have often wondered why our friends from Minnesota picked the loon for their state bird because there's so many better choices, it would seem. But there's more to this bird than meets the eye. And you can start with what you hear. That haunting sound. Unlike anything else in all creation. And in the book of Job, he says, "Ask now the beasts, and they shall tell thee, and the fowls of the air, they shall tell it to thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fish of the sea shall declare it unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this?" You know, the Lord made the loon. And the more you study the loon, the more you realize what an amazing bird this is. Our friends from Minnesota knew what they were doing when they chose the loon as the state bird. I guess I first got interested in the loon when my daughter gave me a CD with some loon calls on it. I thought, man, this is really different. And as I listened to that, I just had an idea that I will bet that there are legends connected with this bird. I just had a feeling that there were. So I went down to the library and got some books. And sure enough, there are legends, very odd legends, connected with this bird. And I want to tell you a few of these legends right now. When I do, you're going to come to the same conclusion I did, that the very legends that this loon is connected with find parallels in Scripture with what Jesus Christ has done. Odd, odd thing. The famous Wisconsin naturalist Aldo Leopold said this one time, "The Lord did well when he put the loon and his music in the land." Well, that's a pretty safe statement. Another naturalist, Sigurd Olson, made this remark, "The voice of the loon is the sound that more than any other typifies the wilderness." Let's look at a few characteristics of the loon, see what the loon would teach us if we compare with Scripture about the Son of God, about his followers. Let's start with this, that the loon is a very ugly bird. And that's exactly what Isaiah says about Jesus Christ when he hung on the cross. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we would desire him. If you and I had had the chance of looking at the Son of God hanging on the cross, when he had been beaten bloody by the Roman soldiers, hanging there dying, we would have said the same thing. There's nothing beautiful here. We don't even want to look at it. A terrible sight. But that's only if you look with what you see with the human eye. If you look deeper, especially through the pages of Scripture, you see a great deal of beauty there. And you see it in the loon. The loon is connected, believe it or not, with an ancient Indian legend that talks about creation. The Indians said that at one time there was no land. All there was water, and there was a big turtle that was swimming across the face of the water, and a god man was standing on top of the turtle, and this god man wanted to create the world, but there was no dirt or no earth. So a loon happened to be flying over, and he called the loon down and commanded the loon to dive down far under the water and grab some earth and bring it up. So the loon did that, and then this god man used this earth to create the world that we're living in. Just a legend. But isn't it interesting that the loon was connected with creation, and so is the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He made it all. Now, why did this God-man on top of the turtle, which is just a legend, but why did he choose the loon to dive down there and get that dirt? Well, the reason is because God made the loon so the loon could dive very, very deeply. No other bird can go that deep. How deep can a loon dive? And we don't know. But loons have already been taken in nets of fishermen that were 200 feet below the surface of the water. That is a long way down. Why did God give the loon two red eyes and they look so ugly? Well, it sounds, you know, almost like that vision of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps of the golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, the Holy Spirit told us that about Jesus. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Why? Why in the vision did he have fiery red eyes? So he could see even in the darkness. He penetrates. His eyes can see. And that's why God has given the loon red eyes. He can see 200 feet underwater where it's dark. The loon can see them, and he sees fish. That's why he's down there to catch the fish. How can a loon go that deep? Well, you know, most birds, and I'm almost going to say every other bird, but I'm not really sure about that, but most birds have air sacs in their bones. Their bones are real light, so they can fly real good. Loons do not have air sacs in their bones. They are solid, heavy bones. And when the loon dives, those bones help carry him down. They're heavy, almost like an anchor, and down, down, down he goes. He has feet that if you saw him on a loon, you wouldn't see a leg part here like you do in other birds. The leg part is all enclosed in the body. All you would see sticking out of the body is the foot. 2 feet. Webbed. And when the loon dives, he uses these feet to paddle. He can go like crazy down there. But they're odd-looking birds. One man was studying the loon one time, and he wanted to band them so he could tell which were which. So he wrote to the federal government and asked for permission to band these loons, and they said, sure, that's fine with us. They sent him some bands. And so he caught a couple loons and tried to put the band, and couldn't figure out how to do it. I mean, the feet are right next to the body. So he wrote back to these guys and he said, what is the best way to band the loon? And they wrote back and said, if you ever find out, let us know. He never found out. Finally threw the bands away. He couldn't band them. How long can a loon stay underwater? Well, it's not uncommon for him to stay under for 3 minutes. And you know, loons are kind of hard to study because they'll dive one place, you think they're going to come up here, and they'll come up over there. You never know where they're going to come up. Some of these loons stay down for 3 minutes and they'll come up 300 or 400 yards away from where they went under. 100 yards is football field. Brett Favre can probably throw a football about 100 yards. Loons can swim underwater 3 or 4 times that. And sometimes even more. The record, remember this, the record. One loon stayed underwater for 15 minutes without coming up. And when he came up, he was more than 2.25 miles away from where he went under. That's a long ways, isn't it? So God has made the loon, so he's very, very good at going underwater and swimming. Okay, now, how did the loon get that white necklace that he's got? If you look at a loon, they're pretty much black and they've got this white kind of scattered around the back. Well, there's a legend for this, too, and I'm going to tell you the legend and see if you can tell me who this reminds you of. There was a man one time who had been born blind. Never, ever in his whole life had been able to see anything. And he really wanted, you know, he could hear sounds, and he wanted to be able to see things in the world. And he had a friend, and he told his friend, you know, I really wish that I had my sight. I really would like to see the world that I'm living in. And the friend says, I have a friend that might be able to help you. So he took his blind friend to a loon. And this is a legend. And the man told the loon, I've got a friend here that's been born blind. He'd like to receive his sight. Can you help him? The loon said, sure. Have him get on my back. So the man got on the back of the loon. And the loon said, now put your arms around my neck and hold on very, very tight. So the man did. And the loon floated out on the water. And all of a sudden he started to dive. And he went down, down, down. This man is holding on for dear life. And the water starts washing through his eyes. You know, the loon goes down, 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 and finally comes back up. And he says to the man, now, can you see anything? The man says, well, I can see a little. That's better than what I used to be able to see. But I can't make out anything. Everything's kind of blurred. But at least I can see something. So the loon said, we're not finished yet. Hold on tight. So the man held on, and down the loon went. This time he dove even deeper. He went way, 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 way down. All this time, this water is washing through this guy's eyes. And the loon finally came up to the top of the surface. He said to the man, "Now can you see?" And I said, "Yeah, I can see." And so he took, this man had a necklace. It was full of seashells, and he took that necklace off, and he wanted to give it to the loon. So he threw it over to the loon, and then the string broke right when it got around the loon's neck, and all of the shells came off and scattered over the loon, and they left little white marks. And according to the Indian legend, that's the way the loon got his necklace. Now the basis of the story is this, that the loon gave a blind man sight by washing out his eyes with water. Now, who do you know is the only person in the whole world that has ever been able to give a man who was born blind, his sight? Who was the only one who could ever do that? Who was it? Jesus Christ, Son of God. And how did he do it? He does it with the water of the Word, doesn't he? All very often in Scripture, water is connected with the Word of God. The entrance of thy words giveth sight, and they giveth light. And so that's what Jesus Christ does. He washes us with the eyes of the water of the Word, and he gives us eyes that can see and ears that can hear. He does this with water. Now, there are a number of water, what we call water birds in the world. Geese are water birds. Ducks are water birds. But the bird who more than any other is like a real true water bird is the loon, because the loon lives almost his entire life in the water. He just loves the water. One writer made this remark, and I almost couldn't believe it. He said that a loon spends 99% of the time of his life in the water. 99% of his life is spent in the water. And when you realize that the water symbolizes the Word of God in Scripture, isn't that what Jesus did? He was always preaching or teaching the Word, praying to God, meditating upon the Word of God day and night. And this is what a child of God is supposed to do. We spend our time, our whole life, in the water of the Word. Now, the very things that make the loon so good in the water make him vulnerable if he gets out of the water and goes on the earth, on the land. His little stub feet that are so good for swimming, they can't walk on the land very well. If he goes on the land, he's very awkward and clumsy, and he's easy prey. And so the key to the safety for the loon, then, is to stay in the water. And the loon has very, very good hearing also. Any of you hear what I'm doing? You hear that? I'm scratching the top of my hand. You can't hear that. I can't even hear it. I can't hear it from here. One man did that when he was observing some loons. They were 23 feet away. Every time he scratched his hand, the loon would turn around and look. Every single time they hear. They hear so very, very well. And this too is characteristic of a child of God. They listen. They listen to the Word. Loons are very family-oriented. They love their little ones. And if loons are separated, they get agitated and very nervous. And I think the children, you've probably seen pictures of loons doing this. Probably your favorite picture, where the loon will have his two little ones, or one or two little ones on his back, giving him a piggyback ride. They like to do that. The first couple weeks of a loon's life, a little baby loon, they ride piggyback on their mom or dad's back all over the lake. They really like doing that. And the loons like doing that for their little ones, too. The same love that they have for their little ones sometimes turns very vicious if something tries to endanger that. The loon does not have a kind of a bill like a duck has that you see around it. The loon has a pointed beak. And they use that sometimes in odd ways. Now, if you study history, back in World War II, one of the most dangerous weapons that the Germans had was called a U-2. It was a submarine. And these submarines would go underwater so you couldn't see them. Then they'd go up close and they'd run a periscope up. It had some mirrors on and they'd turn that periscope around above water. If you were above water and you looked across, if you were lucky, you'd see the periscope. That's all you could see. And the thing would be turning around, and they'd find a convoy of ships. Then they'd lower the periscope, go underwater over to the ships, and start shooting torpedoes. So the ships are sailing along, all of a sudden, bam! Down one goes. The captains are looking around, what's happening? Bam! Another one, down they go. All these ships started sinking, and you couldn't see anything. Where's the enemy? Where are they getting shot down? Well, the submarines were underwater doing all of that. I think that Hitler got the idea of a submarine by watching loons. Loons are just like human submarines. They have air sacs under their skin that they can let air in or take air out. And they can lower themselves in the water. They can go so low in the water that all you see is their head sticking out. They can do that. And then they can go underwater for long periods of time. And to show you what can happen, one time a man was out on a canoe. He knew there was a loon nest at this particular part on the shore. And as he was watching, a mother duck, a mallard, a hen mallard, came swimming along. She had 11 little babies that were swimming along behind her. And inadvertently, she got too close to the loon's nest. And as this man was watching, all of a sudden, one of the little babies just quit paddling. It was dead. And then the next one all of a sudden quit paddling, and it was dead. And then the next one right after the other. 9 out of 11 of them died before the mother got out of that territory. And he went over and he looked and he picked one up, and it had a puncture wound right up through the breast into the heart. And then a little space away, a loon came out. The mother loon had fought that this mallard was going to attack her little ones on the nest. So she went down and fought, just like a submarine, firing from below, killing without even being seen. But the point is, they love their little ones, and they'll defend their territory. A deep love. Another legend of the loon, how language was lost. There's two legends connected here. One of them has it this way, that God created people and they had this ability to talk the same language, and God would talk with them, and then the people became very wicked and God became angry with them, so he gave them all these different languages so they couldn't understand each other, and God left. And then all the people that used to talk with God, they kind of dispersed too, and they went away, everyone except the loon. And the loon stayed there calling and calling and calling for God to come back. But the loon is the only one doing that. The legend kind of illustrates the fact that loons are very solitary birds. They do not like a lot of busyness around. They go as far away as they can get. They also are very unpredictable. Just like children of God are unpredictable. You never know what a loon is going to do. There was a man one time who was going to study loons, so he knew there was a loon on this lake, so he took his boat out there, and he saw this loon, and the loon dove underwater, and the guy said, "Okay, now I'm going to guess where I think this loon is going to come up. I'm going to move my boat over there, and when he comes up, I'm going to be real close to him. I'm going to surprise him." So the loon went down. The guy paddled over this way. The loon came up over there. The loon dove again. The guy says, "I think he's going to go over there." So the guy paddled his boat over there. The loon came up over there. He spent an hour trying to get close to this loon, and every single time the loon came up further away than he was when he dove. The guy could never really figure out where that loon was going to come up. Sometimes he'd even go swim under the boat and come on back. Very, very unpredictable. This is what Jesus says about you and me. Everyone that is born of the Spirit, the wind blows where it pleases, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You know, children of God sometimes do some odd things. There was a widow one time that was living in a famine. All she had was a handful of meal to feed her and her little son. And God told her to give it away, and she did. That's odd behavior, isn't it? A heathen wouldn't do that. Daniel was told, "You either stop praying or I'll throw you in a lion's den." Daniel kept praying and threw him in a lion's den. That's very odd behavior. She dragged Mishael and Abednego. He said, "You burnt down, you worship this image, or we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace." They said, "We're afraid of you. We're not going to worship your image. We pray to the true God." So they threw him into the furnace. A very, very odd behavior. A widow one time had two mites. All she had, poor widow, threw him into the church treasury. Very, very odd behavior. A peculiar people. But my favorite legend, how did the loon get that voice? You know, that voice that the naturalist says more than anything else in the world symbolizes the wilderness. How did the loon get that voice? Indians had a legend about that. They said that God came down to the world after man had sinned, and God loved them, and God wanted to save them. So he called the loon, and he said, "I want you to go and tell the people about me and about the love I have for them. And the loon said, how can I do that? And God said, I'll give you a very special voice. A voice that's unlike anything else in the whole world. And then you go and talk to people. And so the legend said that that's how the loon got his voice. A very odd voice. A voice that's unique. There's nothing like it, nothing else like it in the whole world. And you see the same thing with Jesus Christ. Some of the words that he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's a unique voice. Nobody else said that. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Nobody else ever said that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Nobody else ever said that. You know, Jesus was teaching in the temple one time. His enemies wanted to take him captive, so they sent some officers and said, you go and capture him, and you bring him back. Well, they went to capture him. He was teaching at the time, so when they got there, before they captured him, they sat there and listened to him. And they heard what he said. Then they turned around, went back, empty-handed. The enemies of Jesus said, where is he? We told you to capture him. Why didn't you bring him back? They said, man, never before did anybody speak like this man speaks. That's true, isn't it? Remember when Moses was following the sheep to the backside of the desert, as far away from civilization as you could get, and God met him there and talked with him by the burning bush. And I guess the equivalent to that is the loon in our own day, who likes these hidden lakes way, way, way up in the north country where you just don't see anybody, as far away from civilization as you can get. And the loons come there, and they call this haunting, haunting voice. The Lord God did well when he put the loon and his music in the land. The service that you just heard came from actually a little village of Tremplo, which was outside of Pearl State Park. It was part of our nature retreat this year. This is the 7th year in a row that we've had one. And we generally meet up in Pearl State Park on the 3rd Saturday of September, which we did this year. We take a nature hike to the top of Brady Bluff, some 520 feet above the level of the water in the Mississippi River. And then after that, we come down to the shelter and we have a little bit of a meal there and then a Bible study for about 2 hours and then close with a service, a little sermonette on one of God's creatures in nature that teach us things. This year, it was the loon. And this year, we had our service from Tremplo because the park was busy, the shelter was taken, a bunch of campers that happened to come just this one weekend. So we moved the service into the shelter in Tremplo. It was quite warm at this particular day. It was in the 90s, I believe, so we had to have a couple fans going, and that noise that you hear in the background is the noise of a fan. So we'll apologize for that, but we hope that you were able to enjoy part of our nature retreat with us, and we're glad to have you with us by tape.